Trend number 7, shifting ideology on college campuses. Remember the 1960s, when radical students confronted conservative college administrators and faculty with sit-ins and protest marches? Fast forward to the 21st century. You'll find much of the same spirit on campuses around the nation. But this time, conservative students are defying and protesting the leftist values and policies of the faculty and administrators. What's going on here? To gain an understanding, let's start with the fundamentals. There has been a slow, steady shift in campus politics going on virtually under the radar, since perhaps as early as the 1970s. It is the shift among students from the liberal left to the conservative right. And recently, it has begun to come into its own and show its might. A few quick statistics about the changing attitudes on campus provides a good sense of what's happening. As recently as 1995, surveys found that 66% of freshmen wanted the wealthy to pay higher taxes. Today, only 50% do. Today, just 17% of students value taking part in environmental programs, half the number in 1992, according to the Higher Education Research Institute at UCLA. In the early 1990s, two-thirds of students supported the right of women to have an abortion. The figure today is just over half. Some 88% of male high school seniors and 93% of females thought it was extremely important to have a good marriage and family life, according to a survey done in 2001. College students have moved to the right along with the overall population, with 31% identifying themselves as Republicans, 27% as Democrats, and the rest unaffiliated, according to a 2003 study by the Harvard Institute of Politics. In a mock election run by Channel One, which broadcasts in public schools, 1.4 million high school students re-elected George W. Bush in a landslide, with 55% of the popular vote and 393 electoral votes, a greater victory than the 51% of the popular vote and 286 electoral votes that he actually won. And just 6 years ago, there were only 400 college Republican organizations nationwide. Today, there are 1,148, with a membership of more than 120,000. In short, college student bodies are no longer hotbeds of liberalism. At the same time, faculties appear to have been taken over by politically correct leftist ideologues who, for the most part, deplore dissent. All too frequently, professors behave as political advocates in the classroom, express opinions in a partisan manner on controversial issues irrelevant to the academic subject, and even grade students in a manner designed to enforce their conformity to the professor's views. Rather than cite numerous instances of these abuses here, we refer you to studentsforacademicfreedom.org and nonindoctrination.org, as well as a sidebar in your Trends e-magazine. Throughout the nation, students on college campuses are protesting these abuses. Unhappy with the monolithically liberal stance of virtually all outside speakers, students are bringing in conservative intellectuals who are greeted by huge, enthusiastic crowds. That reaction is predictable. As in prior generations, college students don't like to be told what to think. More importantly, we're witnessing the natural outcome of a generation of American students who grew up in an era that saw both the end of the Soviet Union and the most productive period in U.S. economic history coinciding with an emphasis on free markets. In 2003, the Independent Women's Forum surveyed college students and learned that up to one-third of them felt that in order to get good grades, they had to conceal their own political and ideological thinking from their liberal professors. And a survey at the top 50 colleges just released by the American Council of Trustees and Alumni shows that half of all students, whatever their politics, report that professors not only inject their political views into course materials, but insist that students go along with their thinking or risk getting lower grades. Several recent incidents at major universities have served to highlight the situation. Columbia University became embroiled in controversy because several pro-Arab professors were promoting anti-Israel agendas in the classroom and penalizing students who dared to voice an opposing opinion. Even Columbia's own liberal newspaper called foul, saying that a diversity of ideas was required in any academic setting. The most prominent incident was the backlash over the remarks made by Dr. Larry Summers, the president of Harvard University, in his address to the National Bureau of Economic Research. Summers suggested that there might be differences between men and women that accounted for more men succeeding in the higher reaches of science. His ideas were fairly tame, and in fact were well supported by research. Summers cited three reasons for the disparity between the number of men and women in scientific professions. The first was that success in a modern career requires working 80-hour weeks, something most women aren't willing to do because of family considerations. He next suggested that natural gender differences led to different aptitudes for men and women in the sciences. And he concluded that socialization and discrimination might also contribute to the underrepresentation of women in the sciences. The howling of protest from the left, both inside and outside of the Ivy Halls of Harvard, could be heard literally around the world, as the press picked it up and turned it into a firestorm. On March 15th, the Faculty of Arts and Sciences at Harvard censured Summers with an almost unprecedented vote of no confidence. Summers apologized profusely, set up task forces to recruit more women, and vowed to change his ways. Fortunately, the governing Harvard Corporation, the only body that can fire Summers, supported him. It is this very claustrophobic intellectual atmosphere that has given rise to the numerous national organizations that are attempting to bring diversity of thought to the academic environment. They are using student clubs to sponsor conservative speakers and thereby give students back their rights to express their true views publicly without fear. Among the most successful of these organizations is Students for Academic Freedom, which was founded in 2003 and already has charters on 130 campuses. SAF is establishing an academic bill of rights for students, which would prevent colleges from blacklisting professors on the basis of their conservative politics and ensure that classes don't become political forums for liberal agendas. There are already 19 states considering legislation that would enshrine those ideas into law. Colorado has adopted a version of the bill voluntarily. Given these developments, we submit the following three forecasts for your consideration. First, in the short term, the pendulum will continue to swing to the right. The left-wing stranglehold on academic institutions is coming unglued, and the forces of change are working upward from the student body, in many cases all the way to the state legislatures. Even so, it will be a good while before colleges shed their left-wing atmosphere. Second, organizations like SAF will continue to grow and exert stronger influence, not only on the student body, but on college faculties and administrations whose positions will become increasingly untenable. These campaigns to bring intellectual diversity to academic institutions will result in legislation that brings more political equality to American colleges. The students clearly have a new kind of power. When Harvard faculty censured Summers for his remarks, more than 600 students signed a statement saying it was wrong to do so. And third, as the old guard at these universities retires or dies off, newer professors will come to occupy those chairs, and they will be drawn from the very student bodies that are now protesting the oppressive intellectual climate they've had to endure. Within the next decade, we will start to see a return to openness to alternative views in academia.
Thank you for joining us this month to explore the latest trends and the ways in which they will impact your business, your career, and your life. All of us here at Trends invite you back next month when we will focus on more of the trends that are now emerging to shape your future.